And if you're visiting with us here this morning, I just encourage you to go ahead and join our church because you can't leave in the middle of a sermon series. So if it's going to take 10 years, you might as well go ahead and join fellowship here with us at Faith Baptist Church. And it is a good church. It is a good place to be, and thankful to be here. So we're going to be looking at the book of John, and one of my favorite verses in the Bible says, we would see Jesus. And I believe as we look at the very pages of Scripture, every page that we turn to, we should see Jesus. From Genesis, as you flip through every page of the Bible, all the way to Revelation, we should see Jesus. And here, as we see, beginning in John this morning, we will see in a most magnificent, profound, beautiful way, we will see Jesus. Here, the author of the book here never refers to himself in his gospel, but the author is the Apostle John. It is not John the Baptist. Some people, just because it's titled John, and John the Baptist is such a prominent figure in the New Testament, they believe that it was that John the Baptist authored the Gospel of John, but no, in fact, it was John, the son of Zebedee. And James, John had a brother, his name was James, and they had a nickname. What was their nickname? Sons of Thunder. And sometimes I can relate to that. Sometimes I want to be like James and John, and sometimes I just want God just to rain down fire from heaven and consume all the wicked evildoers. But here, John had a zeal, a passion, a love for Jesus, for his Savior, for his Messiah. John referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's interesting, isn't it? The disciple whom Jesus loved. I would have thought that Jesus loved all his disciples, and in fact, he did love all his disciples. But what a neat title to think of this intimate relationship that he had with the Savior, with whom he walked with whom he learned from, whom he ate with, whom he saw the miracles performed. He considered himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. It was this disciple, it was John, that on the cross, that Jesus had entrusted to him the care for Jesus' mother. It was John here that with his brother and with his father had a fishing business. This was the same John that whose mother, Salome, asked Jesus if James and John could sit at the right hand and on the left hand of Jesus' kingdom. So this is the John who we are speaking of here this morning. This is the author of the Gospel of John. And what we're going to see this morning is John's message is of the eternal, sovereign God of the universe has condescended down to man and became man. Here in John 20, we could actually sum it all up right here if we would. John 20 and verse 30. John recorded, says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." In verse 31, it says, "But these are written." For what purpose? John, the things that you recorded, why did you record those things? As we take our time and work our way through this beautiful, wonderful gospel, John, we could ask him, why did you write the things that you had written? In verse 31 of chapter 20 of John, he says, "But these are written for what purpose? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So here this morning, we begin on this wonderful journey of presenting Jesus Christ in Scripture. So today, if you do not know Jesus Christ, John said that these things have been written, my friend, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And that is our desire here through the course of this study, is to show you Jesus, that we would see Jesus. We currently live in a world and that attempts to define Jesus based upon their own thoughts of who he is, their own opinions. But we, as Christians, must declare the Christ of Scripture. Some suppose that Jesus was just a historical figure, that he was just a man, that Jesus was a teacher, that as the Muslims believe that he was a prophet sent by Allah. Jehovah's Witnesses claim that he was just a God, little g, not God of the universe. Arthur Pink wrote this about Jesus. He says, Jesus, though, reveals God's mind. Jesus expresses God's will. Jesus displays God's perfections. And Jesus exposes God's heart. I love that. Here, if we want to see God, we must look to Jesus. Not of what the world thinks of Jesus, but what Jesus has revealed of himself in Scripture. So read with me, if you will, beginning in verse 1 through verse 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let us pray. Father, we humbly bow before your holy presence here today to beseech your face, Father, to ask for your favor upon our service here this morning. God, that you enable me by the ability that your Holy Spirit allows, Father, to proclaim your truth. Oh, Father, I desire nothing more than to show Jesus, to preach Jesus, to look at Jesus. Father, not of what someone thinks of Jesus or their thoughts or their opinions of Jesus, but the Jesus of the Scriptures, of what Jesus has said about himself and of who he is and of his testimony. Father, I pray that we show people Jesus a clear depiction of the Savior who reigns. And that clear depiction of who Christ is only gleaned from his holy, infallible word. So, Father, minister to our hearts. May your name be praised. May Christ be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we read here in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. This echoes all the way back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this conveys a message to us that the Word existed before time. The Word, it is outside of time. It is outside of creation. The Word is self-existent, self-sustaining. Nothing existed before the Word, and nothing exists without it. And that is why we find in Revelation chapter 1, God declaring his self-existent, eternal nature, saying in verse 11, God said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. No beginning, no end. As theologians would say, he is the uncreated one. Uncreated, existing for all of eternity. There is no beginning to God. There is no ending to God. And here, as John is declaring to us the Christ of Scripture, John is declaring that in the beginning was the Word, this divine Logos. Jesus is the one in who he is speaking. Jesus wasn't just a messenger. Jesus wasn't just a prophet. Jesus isn't just an ambassador coming from another country to a foreign country relaying a message. No, what John is declaring about Jesus Christ is that Jesus is God, and God speaks. God has spoken from all of eternity. God speaks. He conveys a message of who he is and his revelation of who he is to a lost people. He reveals the work that he's doing, and that through him, through Jesus, is the only way of salvation. Yes, God has spoken, and he has spoken most clearly through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we read this: God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Yes, Jesus Christ was in the beginning. He was the Word. He is the divine Logos. This is beyond human comprehension. This is beyond human understanding. You and I are bound by this time-space continuum, so it's impossible for our finite minds to understand, to grasp the eternality of a powerful, wonderful, created God who is outside of time, outside of creation, for he is the uncreated one who created all things. God is invisible. God is a spirit. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, though, we read this. Speaking of Jesus, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or powers or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Who was the Apostle Paul speaking of there? He was speaking of the agent of creation, Jesus Christ. When God spoke it all into existence, when God spoke, when God said, let there be light, there was what? There was light. When God spoke, it was created. And here, Jesus Christ, the Word, the eternal Word, coexisting with God, was the agent by which God created all things. John declares that he was in the beginning. And not only was he in the beginning, but it says here that the Word was with God and the Word was God. This is speaking of Jesus' divinity. No, Jesus was not just a man. No, Jesus was not a prophet. No, Jesus was not a God. No, Jesus is the all-exalted one, the one who deserves all of our glory and all of our praise and all of our worship. Jesus is God. He is that which we call the hypostatic union, fully God and fully man. If we believe Jesus to be anything less, we are believing in the wrong Jesus. No, he was with God and the Word was God. Jesus is divine in nature. Yes, God is a spirit without a body, invisible. Here, in many people wrongly think of God as an old wise man with a beard, long white hair, and a staff in his hand. But in order for us to see God, church, we must see Jesus, for he is the image of the invisible God. John wrote this in John chapter 14, in verse 8. He says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that would be sufficient for us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen who? The Father. He is the express image of the Father. He is God. And Jesus says, how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? These words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the works. Here, Muslims you know, when they want to debate you on who Jesus Christ is and that they deny that he was ever, that he had ever claimed to be God. Let me tell you this, Jesus didn't have to claim himself to be God if he did not desire to. How come? Because of the works that he done. Everyone else knew it. No one could do the works that he done unless it was by God. No one can forgive sin, but who, church? God. What did Jesus do? He forgave sin. It was clearly evident to everyone at that time when Jesus walked the earth that he was God. When you heal the lame and cause the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear and you raise the dead back to life, that is evidence that you are God because no one else can do those works. Everyone around Jesus declared that he was God, so much so that they accused him of blaspheming and they accused him of doing all of these things and they set out to stone him. And here, but John is declaring to us that in the beginning was the Word. The beginning was in the beginning was Jesus. The Word was with God, fellowship, one with God, that triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, dwelling in unity, yet three distinct persons who all had a part in all of creation, who all have a part in our salvation, who have all a part in our persevering in the faith for his glory. No, in Jesus, as the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, in him, in Christ Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes, we want to see God, we look to Jesus. Paul also wrote in verse 10, he says, Christ is the head of all principality and power. What we find here, John declaring, is that Christ is equal in essence. He is equal in power. Christ Jesus, the Word, is equal in authority. And when God spoke creation into existence, it was by Jesus. Jesus was the agent by which all things were created. When God spoke it into existence, it was by Jesus. And John declared that all things were made by him. Verse 2 and 3, the same was in the beginning with God. There was not a time. Yes, Jesus, born of a virgin. Yes, Jesus clothed in flesh, the God-man. But we find in scriptures that Jesus has no beginning. Jesus has no end. The same was in the beginning with God. John declared that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Every angel, every particle of dust, every atom, the stars in the cosmos, the planets in the cosmos, every seen and unseen thing, everything that has been created was created by him and for him. And without him, there is nothing that would have come into being. Therefore, there is nothing that exists apart from Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, he says, but to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. You have John declaring it. You have all the Gospels declaring it. You have all the epistles declaring it. You have all the New Testament declaring that by this one Jesus, all things have come to be, and all things by him are held together. Nothing comes from nothing, church. There is a creator God who, out of his own creative mind, by the counsel of his own will, created all things for his glory. And that is the power and the authority that Christ Jesus has had from eternity past to eternity future. Only Jesus can do this work. Where does life come from? It's interesting to me. I think it does take more faith to be an atheist, to think that all of this came from nothing, to see the complexity of life, to see that it all has order, and to still think that everything came from nothing. But what we find here is John declares that all has been made by Him. There was nothing that was made that was not made by Him. And here in verse 4, John declared that in Him was life. In the Word, in the divine Logos, was life. And it says that life was the light of men. The Greek word for life is zoe, meaning both physical as well as spiritual. You know, we look back in the book of Genesis and we think about Adam being created and God taking the dust of the earth and forming man out of the dust of the earth. You had a fully created being there, just a lifeless form lying there on the ground. No life. He had structure. He had all the components for life except for one thing, and there he lied, lifeless, until God moved, and the Bible says that God breathed in him the breath of life, and then, and only then, did Adam become a living soul. No, all things find their genesis. All things find their beginning of life by the Creator. And here we read John declaring that in Jesus was life. Apart from Jesus, the Apostle Paul declared this in Ephesians chapter 2, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. See, what we see here is this life that was in Jesus' life, Jesus. Not only was it biological life, not only that through Jesus, the agent of creation, that the trees and the birds and every living organism that lives and that breathes that was made, not only is there biological life, but there's a special component to man, which is a spiritual life that only God can give, and that life is only in and found in Christ Jesus. Augustine wrote this, "Through the man Christ, you come to the God Christ." To be quickened, you must first be dead. And you and I, as the Apostle Paul again said there in Ephesians, you and I were dead in trespasses and sins. In John chapter 11, Jesus declaring, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were," what, church? "Dead, yet shall he live." That it is through Christ, that divine zoe, that divine life, not just biological life, but that spiritual life. You and I, church, apart from Jesus Christ moving in our heart and in our lives, you and I are like that dead Adam, that lifeless Adam without a soul, without life, without spirit, lifeless form. We're just components, biological components, just walking to and fro in this earth, but yet we are dead, spiritually separated from a God who reigns, but yet we find Jesus declaring of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life." We have here John declaring that in Jesus was life. And friend, today, if you have not cast your hope upon Jesus Christ, the Bible declares you dead. I don't need a doctor's certificate to declare that for you today. The Bible declares it. Apart from Christ, you are a lifeless form. No spirit. A dead spirit. But in Jesus, there is life. John, in 1 John 5:12, again, he says, "He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God, what does he have? He does not have life." Listen, church, apart from Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. But he that has this divine Logos, this divine Word, the one who is God, the one who is the same in essence and power and authority and divinity, Jesus is no less God because he is God. And he who has Jesus, he who has the Word, has life. And this is the reason Christ came to this earth. This is the reason why the God of the universe clothed himself in flesh to become a man. He did not come to be served, the Bible says. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. For this reason, Christ Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. I remember, do you remember, Christian friend, before Jesus saved you? Do you remember what life was like? There was no true joy. There really wasn't any hope. I remember those days. I remember the time when Christ called me to himself and gave me Christ when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, didn't even know that I needed a Savior, wasn't looking for a Savior, but yet Christ, just as Adam moved upon Adam and breathed into him the breath of life, and then Adam became a living soul, Jesus moved in my heart and my life by the agent of the Holy Spirit, breathing life into my dead soul. And I remember that divine change, joy, hope, peace, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a world that is hopeless and depressed, I all of a sudden had joy and hope that lied beyond the grave. And here Jesus Christ came, as John said, because in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Anyone that tries to bring any other gospel other than Jesus Christ, the Bible calls him a thief and a liar. Life, true life, spiritual life, is only found in the Christ of Scripture. Jehovah's Witnesses do not have that life. Seventh-day Adventists do not have that life. Mormons do not have that life. Muslims who believe that Jesus was a great prophet, they do not have that life. Why? Because they do not know the Christ of Scripture. That is why it is so vitally important for us, church, to know Christ, to know who he is based on who he said he is, based upon his word. You and I must be well-read, well-studied, well-versed in Scripture so that you and I may accurately and faithfully proclaim the Christ of Scripture. Jesus declared of himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. You may say, well, Pastor, that's pretty exclusive. What if people are sincere? What if Muslims are sincere in the God that they are chasing after? What if Jehovah's Witnesses are sincere? What if Mormons are sincere? I'm afraid to tell you, my friend, they are sincerely wrong. There is only one way to the Father. And Jesus declared of himself that he is the only way. This life that John declared that is found in the Word, is found in Jesus, he says, this is the light of men. And I guess you could kind of illustrate it, could you not? Is when God saved you, it was like a switch came on. It was like you walked into a dark room and there was darkness, and all of a sudden someone just flipped all the lights on and you could see everything around you. You see, what we find in Scripture is that these things that are contained in God's Word cannot be understood by the natural man because they are spiritually discerned. The greatest intellect, the greatest mind that the world has ever known could know this book front to back, but apart from Jesus, they would not understand the spiritual significance that lays in these pages. Now here, Jesus truly is the only way. And John declared that this Jesus, in whom was life, was also the light of men. Listen, church, apart from Christ, men grope in darkness. In Isaiah 9, verse 2, says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine. If you are saved here, church, if you are saved here, friend, that is indicative of you. You walked in darkness. You were in the land of the shadow of death, but upon you, the light has shined. upon you, you have seen a great light. Again, Jesus declaring of himself in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What does light do? It dispels darkness. It chases it away. When you walk in here in the morning before anyone else gets here and the place is pretty dim and all of a sudden all the lights come on and all the darkness scatters to the recesses of this room where light cannot reach. And here what we find is that here Jesus is the light of men. He shines into a lost and dark and dying world. Oh, church, what we find is that men also love darkness and they hate the light. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Who is that indicative of? All of us, apart from Christ. But in verse 21 it says, but he that does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be made manifest. Now, if we would just stop there, it's like, oh, so we can do good. We can honor God of ourselves, of our we can maintain a level of goodness to that's apart from God, but yet somehow honor God. No. Here, Jesus says, these good works, he says, that they are wrought or worked in God only through the ability which God has given us are we able to live for his glory. And in verse 5, John says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Greek word for that, for comprehend, it can also mean to overcome or to lay hold of or to arrest or to pounce up onto, to take by force. And what John is saying here in verse 5 says, the light shines in darkness and the darkness tried to stamp it out, tried to overcome it, tried to suppress it, tried to do away with it. The enemies of God and of his Christ thought that they had defeated Jesus on the cross. When Jesus Christ was nailed to that cruel piece of wood and he hung up there for the people's sin, the enemies of Jesus thought that they had defeated the light. When they placed Jesus' body in the tomb in that dark, cool place, here they thought that they had defeated Jesus. Day one over, they thought they had defeated Jesus. Day two over, they thought that they had defeated the light. Day three, they thought in their mind that they had defeated Jesus until he had resurrected from the grave, declaring victory over death, hell, and the grave for you and I. They thought that they had overcome the weakness or the light, but they could not overcome the light. Listen, church, take comfort. Take comfort, Christian brothers and sisters. Take comfort in this lost, dark, and dying world, for Jesus has overcome. The light has overcome the darkness, and the darkness will not be able to stamp it out. Jesus reigns victorious as he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for those that believe. And there is no army, there is no enemy, there is no power, there is no authority that can stand against God and his Christ today. And if you are in him, you are victorious. Do not lose heart. Do not fear man. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, there's a battle being fought between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And the only good that there is ever to be found is in Christ Jesus. And Jesus always wins. Jesus always overcomes. And if you are in him today, friend, You are an overcomer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would help us in our walk of faith, that we would live according to the precepts of your word. God, that we'd be a light and a testimony to a lost and dying world. That we hold up the banner of Christ, Father, unashamedly so, boldly declaring the Christ that reigns, the Christ who is eternal, the Christ who is sovereign, the Christ who is good, the Christ who dispels the darkness, the Christ who overcomes all of his enemies. We declare the Christ who forgives sin, the Christ who saves sinners. We declare Christ, the Christ who reconciles the lost to the Father. Oh, Father, we pray that you would help us to be faithful in this endeavor to make Christ known everywhere that we go. Then as a church, as a body of believers, Father, we'd be a testimony to our community here in Gallipolis, Ohio, and to the surrounding counties, and Father, that the people here would see that Faith Baptist Church is full of people who proclaim unwaveringly so the Christ of Scriptures, and that you'd receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.